kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you are victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stub and the Lord of Laughter, the quarantining Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting with my co-host, the political, the pinnacle of political perfection, Super Ogabe.
Yo, I am also quarantined.
And let's get it started properly. 3, 2, 1.
I'm a little late.
Yeah, baby. Dog, I haven't dreamed.
I guess we're doing our business continuity plan.
Yeah.
Recording remotely once again.
Yeah, but it's good though. I kind of like the idea, and I also I'm glad you you mentioned that we're both quarantining. I want to shout out Super Ogabe for the last 2 years, 2+ years. He's actually been taking a 30 to 45 minute drive to my crib to actually do these episodes. Like, even though he didn't like necessarily have to, but like he believed in what's going on and like putting the website together and everything. So I just want to shout out you and let you know that I appreciate you actually doing all that.
Oh man, I'm tearing up here, man.
No, he's not. Stop lying.
Nah, yo, like you know, like ever since we started like hanging out, like even before we started hanging out, like I felt like we had so much in common as far as our interests that you know I feel like us connecting on this podcast thing and even beyond that, the articles and the website, it just feels natural, man.
Yeah, and it was funny because we may have talked about this on the show, I don't know, but if not, cool. If you have, then some new listeners can hear this. We would always, like, I used to hang out with Amanda. Like, I've known Amanda for about 16 years. No, longer than that. I've known Amanda for almost 20 years now.
Damn.
Oh, but yeah, about, for, I think, as old as her oldest is, that's how long I've known Amanda.
So 18?
Yeah, about 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, when, whenever, like, I would hang out with her, like, you'd end up at her house, or if there was, like, a cookout and I'm going out at your crib, I'd end up over there. And we used to talk shit, like, you used to talk comics, and, like, and you'd talk politics, and I wouldn't be able to, like, dig in on it, because I don't know a lot about it, but I'd ask questions and stuff like that, and you actually, it seemed like you appreciated the fact that, because I didn't know, I was asking questions. I wasn't just like, well, Obama's black, and we black, so we should vote for him, you know what I mean?
But I mean, you know, well, yeah.
but again, and it's funny when someone like brings that up and they go, "Did you vote for him because he's black?" I'm like, "Well, not specifically why I voted for him, but you know, having someone whose interests kind of align with mine actually helps."
I think that sentiment itself is relevant to what we'll be talking about a little bit later on in the show. But
yeah.
Besides that, man, you're good people, man, and. I don't know, man. Just thank you for allowing me to be a part of your baby, you know. And it's been a fun two years.
Yeah,
probably more than that at this point.
This should be episode 166.
Something like that.
Yeah. So yeah. All right. So
if you go to oldmanwade.com,
oldmanwade.com.
You'll be able to see where we're at as far as our episode total.
Episode total, and like the articles have been coming out weekly, it seems like now.
Yeah, yep. We got a couple coming out hopefully this weekend. If I, you know, we're on quarantine, so why the hell not?
Yeah, I got an article I have to finish by Monday for Bam Smack Pow, but then I got some other ones coming up. Some another personal episode that I think. Another personal article I think that I actually kind of think you'll probably contribute to once you see where I'm going with it.
All right. Can't wait.
All right, so let's get right into the shits, man. So I sent Super Bowl this article, this photo shoot that the WWE did. It's actually the first ever WWE photo shoot without makeup. And this may not seem like a big deal, but having a wife who, and not even just a wife, but having friends who don't usually wear makeup, but then will put on makeup because it makes them feel better, even though, like, to the people around them who know them, they feel like they're beautiful naturally. Like, you know what I mean? It isn't necessarily about how I feel, it's about how they feel. You know what I mean? The people, I shouldn't even say this one, but the people who are putting on makeup, because men put on makeup too, like, you know, depending on their lifestyle. So I shouldn't say it. But anyway, this is the first ever photo shoot without makeup. And a lot of the women spoke about, all the women in there spoke about why they do what they do and stuff like that. So Sasha Banks said, "It's very hard to show the real pimples, the uneven skin, but I think it's very beautiful to embrace that we are getting lost in the world and not embracing who we are."
Yeah.
And that was kind of dope. Charlotte Flair went on to say, "Being able to feel comfortable in your skin and not playing dress-up is so important. My character has to be so over-the-top and perfect all the time. Just walking out feeling fresh is feels so empowering." And it's just a lot of sentiments like that where people just kind of like, you know, like, you never really think about it because when you see people on TV a lot of times, it's their personality dialed up by like 1,000. You know what I mean? And not realize that a lot of these people, or the women in this particular photo shoot, they're really insecure. Like, we look at them like, "Oh my God, you're beautiful. You're beautiful." Like, and I think a lot of them look better without their makeup on. Like, you know what I mean? Because I was talking to a homegirl, I believe it was Charmaine I was talking to, and I was saying that how, like, when I see a woman, like, without makeup, I think their quote-unquote blemishes actually adds to their beauty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it gives them, like, you know what I mean? But that's just me looking out. Like, I don't know how this person may feel about themselves, so they may need the makeup. So,
well, that's key, I think. I know a lot of women that, like you, that don't wear makeup regularly. So, you know, I agree with you. I find a lot of women that don't wear makeup to be, you know, very beautiful without it. But then I know a good amount of women that also wear makeup, and it's not always because of insecurity. So a lot of people, they just like the artistry of makeup.
Yes.
You know, but I think there's a segment of women that feel like they can't leave the house without makeup, right? Like, yes, that insecurity. And it has nothing to do, I think, with them, but the way, you know, society or the people around them kind of make them feel. And, you know, as a man, it's hard to relate to that because we don't have those types of pressures. Like, I don't feel like people are looking at me, like, looking at every blemish on my face and judging me on that, you know? And I think that, like you said, I think that this photo shoot, at least for the segment of women that watch wrestling and look up to these women, if there are some that have those types of insecurities, I think this will go a long way in helping them realize that, yo, beauty is, like, you're beautiful with the skin you're born with, you know? And, you know, every mark, every wrinkle, every beauty mark, all that is just part of who you are and part of your personality, and it just adds so much to your aesthetic, in my opinion. You know, I'm always happy when stuff like this happens. I know Alicia Keys,
yes,
the singer, you know, she seems to be like the big pioneer with this no makeup movement, and you know, and yeah, I think that it, you see things grow from that. I don't know. I would love to see a world where people don't feel like they need to, like, alter the way they look just to please people around them.
Yeah, and I think that's the best. I think you just hit it exactly the way it should be. It was like, mm-hmm. Like you said, some people really just enjoy the artistry of it all, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And some people, like, feel like they need to. It would be nice if we lived in a place where people didn't actually feel the need to have to, that's me, have to wear makeup, like, but just actually, like, wanting to, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I feel like wearing some eyeliner, hey, I feel like wearing some blush and things like that. As opposed to, like, walking out the door and feeling like I don't feel like myself without my face, you know what I mean? Like, hearing that, like, just hearing it, it's like, fuck, really?
And especially it should feel like a choice, right? It should be a choice that you make. It shouldn't feel like I need to do this or I'm the ugliest person on earth. You know what I mean? Like, it should be like, you know what? Just like, you know, we might feel like, oh, I want to wear my black jeans today just because, you know, I'm wearing some black sneakers, like, or whatever. You know, obviously I have no fashion sense, but it shouldn't be like, if I don't wear this, if I don't wear these, or if I don't put this on my face, people are gonna think I'm hideous. You know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't live in a world like that. You know, I hope that at least a generation coming up will see these things and it changes society for the better when it comes to that.
Yeah. And hopefully, like, this is something, like, a trend that, like, that continues, because, like we both just said, like, it's a brave thing. It's a brave thing to actually do that, especially, like, when you hear, like, what they're speaking on and so, and, like, and everything else. There's some more, like, there's a woman I love, Bianca Belair. She's a wrestler. She's, like, a bad motherfucker. I'm trying to find her quote. I believe she, I'd be shocked if she did. But she's, like, spoken multiple times about, like feeling a certain way about, like, you know, you're, like not like yourself and things like that. And it's, and as you may know, it's different when you're a person of color in the wrestling industry. But she goes on to say, as a woman of color, we are put into a box. We are, a lot of times, pressured into picking one element of ourselves and presenting that as our whole self. That is something I am completely against. I am comfortable in my own skin. I am comfortable with every single element of who I am. It is not your responsibility to choose who I am. I get to choose who I am.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. When that light hits that melanin a little bit with a little bit of cocoa butter, you know, man, that man, nothing beats that to me. You know, I love black skin.
Yeah, man. It's I also I find it hilarious when you have, like. And again, this isn't, I'm not talking about everyone, but you'll understand what I'm saying. Like, it's funny when you get these racist idiots who hate black people, but then will, like, they hate black skin, but then will be the first ones to go to tanning beds. It's like, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely understand, man. It's like, they want to be something that they despise.
And it's fucking hysterical.
It's crazy.
You know, when I was in wrestling school, one of the things they said was, like, you know, when you're, like, always make sure that you're ready, like, to go. And one of the things they said was, make sure that you're tanned. And so me and Fletcher looked at each other and we're like, we're fine.
you don't want to get a little bronze going?
But they laughed because it was like, it's the reality of it all. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is, man. But I'm actually, shout out to them, man. I was actually, like, really, like, proud and inspired.
And what's the name of this movement? Does it go by a particular name?
That I don't know. I don't know if it's particularly a movement, but it's definitely, but I know, like, if you Google no makeup photo shoot, a lot of images come up. And it's,
I just looked it up here. So it's WWE Raw Beauty.
Oh, okay. Okay.
WWE's first ever no makeup photo shoot. So yeah, you know, I don't like supporting the McMahons, but
the McMahons.
But you know, even if you don't agree with somebody politically or even, like, you know, morally in a lot of ways, it proves that everybody has something good that you could latch onto.
Well, it's the, what's the phrase? Even a garbage can gets a steak.
Yeah. Not the steak I ate today, but yeah, that's bones, but yeah.
But nah, man, but, like, it's, like, you know what I mean? But I think this comes from a lot of the women in the company who are stepping up and going, like, nah, like, if you want us to be here, like, you know, you're going to have to start getting with the times. You know what I mean? Like the women's movement in wrestling has been great over the last 5 years. It's taken a bit of a hit because I think that's a conversation for a different story that I need to have with, like, Duke LaBelle.
I'm probably not the best person for that conversation, but I would love to join in that conversation.
Yeah, well, we can make that happen, especially now that everyone I know can record remotely.
Yeah, because Duke is ducking me, you know what I mean?
Nah, Duke said all I gotta do is tell him when he'll call.
Alright.
So I'm gonna make that happen. Alright, next up on the docket we have, I want to get into some, like, fun before we get into, like, I love that was supposed to be the funness. music.
You know, man, we have to bring some positivity to the world a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
This corona madness is driving people insane right now. So.
Yeah. And trust me, we're going to get into that. That's probably what we're going to close the show on, though. So, music.
Ooh. Yeah, man. Yesterday was a big music day.
So,
the
last, like, month has been, like... So, first, let's get into Royce.
Yeah, man.
Royce da 5'9"'s album was absolutely incredible. The album is called The Allegory. 22 tracks, an hour and 8 minutes, which 22 tracks seems like a lot, but an hour and 8 minutes is actually like a really good time to listen to an album. Like, it'll get you to work maybe 10 minutes to spare. Friends who listen to it, apparently my friend Javi listened to this as well. But I had 22 albums. It's really dope. It's actually not the Royce you may be used to, because he's not just spitting. And it's funny because he actually makes fun of himself, because he used to talk about his dick a lot on like every album. And then in one song he goes, wait, did I almost go about 4 hours without talking about my big dick? But on this particular album, I don't think he mentions it like once.
This was the super woke version of Royce. Like, anybody that's, unless you're like, you know, actually no, we're a different generation, but if you're from our generation of people that even like slightly listen to hip hop, to people that like are hip hop heads, when you think about Royce the 5'9", you think about a lyricist, right?
Yeah.
But he's more of like you said, like he's more raw. He talks about his dick and like, you know, he's very, really boastful in a lot of his lyrics.
Yeah.
But this one, it was just like, he had a message, man. And just go with the definition of allegory, a story, poem, or picture that could be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically a moral or a political one.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what all a million of those tracks were. I'm going to say a million because we're in a musical environment right now where people are really like giving us really short albums. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Man, this, I don't know. This might be my album of the year. I'm going to be honest with you.
So far, yeah, Royce's album probably might be my favorite album of the year. But yeah, it's still super early in the year.
I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for me. Like, you know, we're both in our 30s. We grew up with hip hop. It's hard for me to think of an MC to come up with something harder than that. Like I don't even know how you can go into the studio, because there's a lot of albums out that I enjoy, and you know, I listen to a lot of different types of hip hop, even like the not so lyrical. To the more lyrical. I don't know, man. Like, this was like a perfect hip-hop.
Well, you're also more... You're also a lot more diverse with your hip-hop than I am. Like, for me, like, I like a message in my music. Don't get me wrong, I love the fuck shit. Like, I love, like, the fuck shit. Like, I've been going back and listening to a lot of, like, old 50 when he's just talking shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, but I also listen to a lot of 50. I listen to, Blackway's a newer rapper that I really like. Trying to think who else, but like, for the most part, like, unless someone recommends it to me, I'm not really like big on it. But who just put out something that someone put me onto a song called what the fuck is his name? Skirt. No, what the hell? No, that's not Skirt. What's this dude's name? I'm trying to find this dude's name. Trying to find this dude's name.
You sent it to me. Damn. Let me see if I can find this joint.
Killer Twan.
I'm not familiar with him, but I vibe with that track. I'm surprised that you liked it, to be honest with you.
So was I. But this dude who used to deliver newspapers at my old gig, he put me on. He said, I don't know if this is true, but he told me that this was on one of Nipsey's guys. And he put out a bunch. He put one song called I Got It. And another one called Do My Thing. And I was like, yo, this is dope. Like, he was like, but again, I think a lot of it comes to, like, the...
Corrupt was on that, too, so...
Yes.
And Corrupt, he's
a staple in West Coast hip-hop.
Corrupt is more on your more classical old man way taste.
Yeah, I like bars, I like stories, I like mid to late 90s to, like, 2005, 6-ish hip-hop. Like, you know what I mean? For a while, like, Fab and Cam were, like, my favorite rappers. For a while. Like, you know what I mean? Then I can't wait to talk about this dude. Then Lupe is probably, like, my favorite rapper out right now. I know how you feel about him, but we can talk about that later. But, we can talk about it now.
I have mixed feelings about Lupe, but I think it goes beyond, like, the hip-hop.
Yeah.
That, you know?
Yeah. Fuck, we're here now, so...
It's just even with so. I think Lupe is a like crazy lyricist. Like the way he puts words together is kind of ridiculous, right? Like, but at the same time, this can apply to Royce too. In my like, for me, it's like they're giving a message, right? They're trying to give a message through their music, and I think that sometimes. Like the conspiracy theories that I hear proliferate throughout our community is often magnified by the music we listen to. And I'm kind of conflicted about it because I love the music, but at the same time, I know that some of the information that they're giving us isn't necessarily true. And it's hard to combat that because it's given in such a polished product, right? Like if you hear, like a lot of the stuff, a lot of like my boys, right? Like my boys on the street and shit, right? Like they, a lot of what they know about politics and society in general, they got from hip hop. So in a way, hip hop artists are teachers to people that kind of need that type of education. But what do you do? How do you combat the fact that sometimes the information they're giving us isn't rooted in the truth? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of it's good. A lot of it's empowering. But at the same time, man, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for somebody like me because, you know, I learned this stuff in a more classical way. Like, you know, I studied political science. I'm a student of history. You know, I've read tons of books. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I can't put together a slick, you know, 40 bars or whatever. So I can't compete with that. So I think Lupe for me is kind of in that boat. Like I think he's super talented, super smart. Like this has nothing to do with the intelligence of these people. It's just, you know, I just feel like in some ways they're misleading people. Yeah. So. I'm conflicted when it comes to this type of stuff, man. But at the end of the day, I really enjoyed the Royce da 5'9" album.
All right, so let's move on to J Electronica. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Jay-Z featuring J Electronica.
Yo, I wanna like this album. Like I really, all right. What do you? I said a lot about the Royce. So, you go right ahead, bro.
Jay did his thing.
Yeah. Which Jay?
Uh-huh.
Which Jay?
Z. Jay did his thing. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. I like the album. I actually like the album. It wasn't...
Yeah.
But you know what it is? I was actually talking to my homegirl, and she was just... She asked me how I felt about it. I was like, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. And she goes, yeah, but what about the middle of the album? But it also dawned on me that, like, I'm not the guy who was out here waiting for a J Electronica album. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like J Electronica. Greg was actually the one who put me on to his music in general. I like him. A dude's dope. But when it comes to, like, his fans, like, I'm not really the guy who's like, oh, I can't wait for this J Electronica album. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, cool. He put out an album. This is a really dope album. I fuck with it. So, like, I think my lack of anticipation helped me enjoy the album more than I thought. Like, my biggest concern was how was Jay-Z gonna sound. Like, that's all I cared about, to be honest with you. And Jay-Z was Jay-Z. He does what he always does. So for me, I was happy. Like, I will say this though, the one track on the album that really fucking hit me was the very last one. It is called It's funny, I actually went to go do it and pulled up a completely different album.
And the name of the album, just so people don't want to know, is the J Electronica, The Never Ending Story.
I thought it was a written testimony.
Sorry. Written, that's one of the tracks. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. A written testimony.
So the last album on the track is called APIDTA. And
yep.
That track hit me because if you ever, like, lost somebody... Like, you understand. And Jay goes, and Hookie goes, I got numbers in my phone that'll never ring again, because a lot of them called them home. So until we sing again, I got texts on my phone that I'll never ping again. I screenshot them, so I got them. I don't want this thing to end. And I was like, fuck! Like, and I understand what that's like, because I have, like, friends who have passed, and their numbers are still on my phone. Like, I have a friend, who her last tweet, is, like, it speaks volumes of, like, who she is as a person, and it cracks me the fuck up every time I read it. But, like, these are, like, the memories you have of, like, friends that, like he said, like, you'll never actually see again. And for me, that, like, that kind of hit home. But that was, like, that's all I remember from that song. Like, I don't remember anything else that he said. I don't remember anything else that was going on in that out in that song. So, Jay really just, like, overshined. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't
remember. Well, I think I'm not, like, Jay was from, like, he's a beast, man. Like,
absolutely.
But I think he kind of, like, he falls into that pitfall where, like, some, like, really talented, smart lyricists fall into, where they kind of, like, they're rapping for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to relate.
Yo, so we had to take a quick break. So it actually gave me some time to talk about something, a verse on a song called Just Begun, on Talib's album, it's on Talib Kweli album, and it's called Just Begun. And he goes, smile on my face, tears of a sad clown, feeling out of place as I whistle a cab down. If I tip extra, can I huff a cig, blow the smoke out the window, drop the ashes on the bridge? I was like, oh shit, like, I feel that. Like, you know, I'm not a smoker, but, like, you know what I mean? He's just like, you know, like, just the line, smiles on my face, tears of a sad clown. Like, I get that. Like, I get, like, having to be that guy. And then, like, I'm not a smoker, but I know what it's like to kind of, like, drink the pain away or drink the depression away or something like that. So, like, yeah. That's the type of dude he is. But then he goes on to get, I dedicate this to my niggas in New Orleans, rocking black and gold stocking caps and fleur-de-lis shocking hats. I'm in a coat room screaming, who that, with a double serving gumbo with a shovel dog. I'm on another level. Me and Kweli come together like two pieces of metal. We magnetize in the ghetto.
Shit.
He's that dude. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, the album, like, I'm not going to say his verses and lyrics are whack. I liked it.
Yeah,
I like the album.
Like I said, he's a beast, bro. He's a monster. Like, I feel like Jay LaChanaga, if he had a large content of work, he would be top 10 lyricist.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And it's funny because he has a lot of verses like this that I've heard. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, this dude's tight. But
yeah,
I also think
this is very, like, if you're not, like, in the Nation of Islam, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might not be able to vibe with a lot of what he's saying, you know? But I'm pretty sure it means a lot. I'm pretty sure if you understood the meaning of a lot of this stuff, like, shit would blow your mind. But
yeah.
I gotta sit with this album a little bit longer, but, like a dictionary and a thesaurus.
I was listening to Joe Budden earlier today, and Parks was talking about Parks and Rory were talking about how they had to, like, sit back with, like, and Google a lot of the stuff that they were.
Joe, that's hilarious because I felt the same fucking way.
Yeah,
like, I think that's why, like, Jay-Z's, like, I think Jay-Z was featured so heavily because he probably played, like, the Jay Electronica translator.
Jay Electronica translator.
You know what I mean? But.
So, yeah, man, like, but it was a... Jay Electronica translator, that's fucking funny, man.
I really enjoyed the Travis Scott track. I'm a fan of Travis Scott's production. I really like when he kind of, like, merges two totally different beats into one song. Like, I've been vibing with that kind of style since Sicko Mode. He did that with Drake. It's the first time I noticed it.
Yeah. Oh, before I forget, we should also point out that Royce produced the whole album.
Royce the 5'9"?
Produced the whole album. No, produced his whole album.
Oh, the Royce album.
He produced his whole, all of Royce's album was produced by him. So I think that needs to be, like, that needs to be actually mentioned, too.
Because I think, and we're going back, but I'm glad you say that because, like I said, like, it's not just, the lyrics were outstanding, like,
yeah,
outstanding, but the production, like, that was some...
Some next level shit. Yeah. Like, I was, like, I'm listening to it, I'm going, God damn. But I remember him calling Joe Budden saying, like, he's producing the whole album. Like, he built a studio in his house. So, like, but it's, you know what it is? when you get somebody who can write their own lyrics, produce their own songs, rap their own verses, it comes off a little bit different because all of it is like passionate. All of it really like, it's like, I want the beat to sound like this because I wrote it like this, because I rapped it like this. So it's like, that's how it comes out. So when you have like a personal connection to every part of the song, it's gonna hit a little different.
Yeah.
That's probably one
reason. I agree. And just to go back to the Jay Electronica album, I think partially my disappointment, I think I had slightly an opposite reaction to you did, because I've been anticipating Jay Electronica album for like forever.
Yeah.
You know, and even CNN put an article out. CNN.com had an article out about Jay Electronica, like 10-year wait.
Well, it's an election year and it's black.
Yo, but to have 10 tracks, you know what I'm saying? Like 10 tracks that were, you know, pretty good, but at the same time, just like, yo, dude, can we get like 15? Like, you know what I'm saying? Can we get 12? Can we get like an extra 2 tracks or something? Like, I just feel like one track a year, I don't know, man. Like,
well,
and I'm not trying to hate. I'm really not trying to hate, because again, like, I think Jay Electronica is awesome.
You know what? Here's the way I can equate it to. It's like Mad Villain coming out with, like, Mad Villain, MF Doom, JJ Doom, whatever you want to call him. If he put out an album, I would be like, I think that's how my anticipation would go, because I'm a big Doom fan. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think that's how I think a lot of Jay Electronica fans would feel. Like, for me, it'd be like MF Doom finally put out another album, which I don't think he ever will. Like, you know what I mean? He's been talking about Mad Villain 2 for like, what, 10 years? 15 years?
It ain't happening, bro.
Nah, probably not. Look, this dude don't even perform. He sent other people in his mask to perform.
Yeah, and honestly, and that's another reason why I respect the Royce project so much, because, yo, it's hard to live up to expectations. Like, the better you are, not even the better you are, but the more that you're known as a god MC.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you know how that works. You got normal MCs and you got god MCs.
How do they put it on Joe Budden put it? He calls them, like, a lot of people like aliens when they're like.
Just, I need to listen to that podcast more, but
it's you know what I mean. Like, I get it, but I think also I because I know you and I know your level of like tolerance. I feel like you get annoyed sometimes. You're like, yeah, I'm not doing this. So we got my man Neo put out a song. I fucking love the song, and it's funny because it's not necessarily the type of music I listen to. It's called Pinky Ring.
Yeah.
And it's got some dude, OT Genesis.
So OT Genesis is the guy that did that the song that you love so much, the Crip love song.
Oh, okay. I'm not gonna lie, I kinda like that song.
Yeah, man. I told you,
it kinda grows on you.
OT Genesis, I don't know what it is about him. It's probably the West Coast, like that West Coast, like, swag, but
yeah,
he could put a song together. You don't even, like, you're just like, there's nothing about this song I should like, but I rock with it.
You know what it is? It's a lot of it's confidence, a lot of it is vibe. Like, when you do something with confidence, it sounds a little bit better, it comes off, it flows a little better. So,
and that's hip-hop, like, that, like I try to, like, and you know me, like, I, you know, sometimes I don't vibe with, like, the hip-hop pure, like, the hip-hop purists. I call them rap purists, because it's not, because hip-hop is more than rap, you know, it's a whole attitude, bro. Like, even from the beginning, like, you don't have to be, you know, Jay-Z level with the rhymes. You just gotta have that, like, you just gotta have that hip-hop in you, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you have, like you said, the confidence and the swag about you, that's hip-hop.
So I want to play a little bit of this song, this Neo song, and you'll understand why I'm not like bugging about it. Why you'll understand why I'm shocked at how much I love it. But but again, hold on. Like right off the bat, the beat. You know, this isn't necessarily my bag.
After 30 to Paris. That's my version of therapy. Even though in no condition, like donating to charity. Still calling my ex. Man, that shit is embarrassing. But it's not my fault. She got that fire, no kerosene.
So, so I love, yeah, I love this song. And, so the last thing he says in the hook goes, she gave back the wedding ring, I turned it into a pinky ring.
Yo, and that means, and to people that don't know, like, that pinky ring thing, like that's a real, that's a symbol of the pimp game. So you went from being married to a straight pimp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, that.
Hold on, where's it go? I'm so sick of love songs. I just caught the flu. Even when I don't do no wrong, she says I do. So I'm about to turn what she thinks into the truth. Yo, so, I love this song. I've been killing this song for the last, I think,
extremely underrated. Like, I think you asked me what I thought about Neo, and I was like, yo, I don't really think about him other than, like, he's just part of the musical landscape. Like, he's like, you think about modern music, Neo is one of those people you just think about.
Yeah.
Like, he's like from Taylor Swift to friggin' Jay Electronica, he's everywhere, bro. Like, but you know, he's super talented.
Yeah, and like the stuff he's written on, like, people can get that one of Beyonce's first hits he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He's written from a couple of Marion's hits he wrote. Like, mm-hmm. he's a writer and a singer. So, like, even if his albums never sell, he can write a banger for somebody. It's still fine.
His residuals are ridiculous, bro. Like, his residual checks must, like, I couldn't even imagine the number he's getting as far as a dollar figure. Like,
yeah.
It's seven figures, bro. Just off of residuals.
Like, he's good. I just love that. You must not know about me. Was something he wrote. Also, funny story. He was talking about that song Closer, which I love. And he wrote the song and performed it in a studio. And he was like, all right, the song's written. I'm going to give it to somebody else. And I guess one of his guys was like, no, this is you. You should be putting this song out. And he was like, nah, the hip-hop community, the urban community is not really going to dig it. He goes, that's fine. He goes, whatever, but it will still do well. So it did well in pop. But until he performed it somewhere, like, on, I think it was, like, on BET, like, people didn't really get it. Like, people who know this is music didn't really get it until they saw him perform it. And, like, but it's funny how people won't really get something until they see a visual of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like...
Well, I mean, communication, you know, 70% nonverbal. Yeah. And that goes, like, even with music, you know, like, there's a reason why artists make so much money when they perform live. You know what I mean? Like, it allows people to relate, I think. At least people that see the performances, allows them to relate more to it. Relate more to the artist.
Yeah, and there's,
Imagine Michael Jackson if he never performed his songs.
Yeah.
There's like, he wouldn't be anywhere near, like, the pioneer music that we see in that today. I don't think.
No, Neo has another song called Another Love Song. And the first time I heard that, I was like, eh, it's okay. Then he put a video out for it, and I was like, fuck, this song is dope. Then I listened to it without watching the video, and it's like, all right, now I can really dig it. Cause, so sometimes putting that visual behind it actually helps a lot.
Like you said, his pen is ridiculous. Like, he has a pen like a rapper.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right, man, so let's get to it.
Oh wait, hold on! Before we get into it, you didn't listen to that new Lil Uzi Vert album?
So let's get right into it. the coronavirus, man. Let's
Yeah, man.
So you don't need toilet paper. Cut it out.
What are you talking about? I just bought 800 rolls today.
Calm the fuck down, man. Yo, this dude at work told me the funniest shit ever. He was saying someone like sent him a video of the supermarket and the things people were buying, but then he went down to Vitamin Al, completely stacked.
Which is crazy. I mean, vitamins won't really help you either, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. Like, it's a virus. It's part of a family of... It's a strain of a... somewhat... of a very common virus, actually. It's related to SARS.
Created by the government. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's respiratory, which means that this virus in particular attacks cells in your lungs.
Uh-huh.
Particular cells in your lungs. So, you know, there's a lot of like homebrew remedies that I see people talking about that I'm like, you know, it might make you feel better, like emotionally. You know, it might have some type of placebo effect, but if you do come in contact with the virus and you do become infected, I mean, there's really not much you can do other than to hope you don't have any underlying factors that will exacerbate the symptoms and potentially kill you.
So I'm supposed to jack off?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard somewhere that doing that boosts your immune system.
Yeah, but
what does me masturbating have to do with anything? I've been preparing for this my whole life.
What does me masturbating have to do with anything?
Honestly, I'm done. I don't even know if there's any science behind that, to be honest.
You said exacerbate, and I couldn't help myself. Sorry.
Oh, damn it. Damn vocabulary words. No, but it's crazy because I know we talked about the fact that people are like buying a whole bunch of toilet paper and stuff like that. And for me, I know you and my wife kind of made fun of me because the way I look at these things, like, it's a real interesting view into human psychology. You know, I know when I talk to some people about like the stock market and I try to explain to them like how herd mentality works, it's kind of hard to show these things just through words. But when you see people just buying toilet paper because they heard other people buying toilet paper, and it just snowballs into like, you know, a friggin' run on toilet paper, it's just, people are funny, man. Like it just shows like how predictable people are in some ways.
Well, you know what that means.
Oh boy.
It's time for Old Man Wade Conspiracy Theories.
You just made the list!
Alright, what you got, old man?
So, I think this is a man-made virus.
So why do you think this is a man-made virus, old man?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you noticed we haven't had a lot of snow this year?
Yes.
So what normally happens when people when it snows? When they even hear the idea of snow, what do they do?
What do they do?
Yes.
I don't know. You tell me.
They run to the grocery store.
Okay. All right.
They're like,
I'm following you.
I need milk. I need eggs. I need all the stuff that's gonna expire in like 2 weeks. It's gonna be shut in for a month, and grocery stores are never gonna be open again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that the government was like, one government agent was like, all right, so it doesn't look like our weather machine is going to be working this year. You know, the weather machine that we created to control people and make sure that, like, you know, when it snows, they have to go buy an obscene amount of things that they don't need. So we got to put the weather machine away for the rest of the year. But we need something to make people buy an absurd amount of things that they don't really require. And someone was like, we could go create a virus like we did in the 80s.
Stupid idiot!
Oh my god. What virus did they create in the 80s, old man?
AIDS.
And don't say AIDS.
AIDS. They created AIDS.
Jesus Christ. Alright.
What, you don't believe me?
Let's go with the... You know what? Let's say I do. Continue.
So, they created the virus. Trying to kill off black folks and people of homosexual community. But unfortunately, they forgot that, fun fact, there are gay people of all races, so you can't kill off anyone. And when they try to control it, what happens? Boom, out of control, AIDS is here.
And then Magic Johnson just destroys their whole theory by surviving AIDS through the power of money.
Stupid idiot!
Am I doing it right?
Yeah, you are.
All right, awesome.
Go on, you see where this is going.
I honestly, like, that's my capacity for conspiracy theories. Like, I don't think I have the ability to go any further than that.
So look, all I'm saying is that this was a man-made created virus. I think this is some bullshit that came over. And even if for some reason this is not man-made, I think the hysteria is specifically to boost up like the fucking the stock market was crashing. And I think this plan backfired on him.
Shenanigans! So wait, so the plan, like they, okay, oh shit.
Their plan sucked, and it backfired on them.
Who's they?
Huh?
Who's they?
You know who they are.
Illuminati. It's a drop. It's a drop. Illuminati. What's plural for Illuminatis?
I think you just said it.
Okay, cool.
Maybe it's Illuminatus.
Illuminatus?
Yeah.
So, my thing is this, like,
you're just gonna ignore my conspiracy theory, aren't you?
I mean, you know what? It's hard for me. You know me, oh man. Like,
I finally broke you.
there's an error screen going on in my brain right now. Like, error. It's for me. It's interesting to hear these things, because I try to figure out where people get it from. Like, where do these theories come from? Is it something that, like, are these things that you just come up with? Like, you're like, okay, this theory makes the most sense in my head. Or is it, like, a combination of things you've heard over time, and you're combining these things? So, I've heard people say that, you know, so here's one. And I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but I remember early on...
I'm just going to say this. Before you ask this question or make this statement, I want you to remember who you're talking to, and I want you to realize that I will probably have an answer for it.
I don't judge people. You know that. Like, I will engage people to a certain point. Like, but I remember early on when the coronavirus was just entering into the zeitgeist, and people were posting pictures of, like, Lysol wipes and disinfectant sprays.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed, like, coronavirus. See? People knew about coronavirus for years. Whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
This is a conspiracy. And it makes sense if you're not familiar with what the coronavirus is. Right?
And what is the coronavirus?
So the coronavirus is a family of viruses. Right? It's fairly common. Like I said, it's related to SARS. A lot of, like, the common cold, many influenzas, they're caused by coronaviruses, right? This particular epidemic is caused by what's called now COVID-19, which is a specific strain of coronavirus. Now, viruses evolve quickly. That's part of the reason why they're so dangerous, right? And that evolution happens by changes in proteins that, you know, that kind of protrude out of the virus cell, so to speak. So I don't want to get in too deep, but essentially viruses, what they do, they pretty much hijack cells. They take your, like, cells in your body. They use the machinery in your cells to create more viruses. And what ends up happening, that cell that they hijacked gets destroyed, right? Mm-hmm. And the way they hijack that cell is by these proteins that are that protrude out of the virus. They kind of work like a lock and key. They fit specific. They fit other proteins on that cell that they're hijacking in order to make that connection. And so the thing with the COVID, it has a bunch of different proteins that we have no way of fighting. That's a very simplistic way of putting it. I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. You pretty much broke it down very simply, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah. So again, so COVID, the coronavirus is not new. COVID-19 is just a new version of that we're not familiar with. All right. So when people see coronavirus on these disinfectant sprays and stuff like that, it just means that it kills the corona family virus.
Can I tell you that it's also funny that someone actually said to me, when they saw the ingredients in one of the antibacterial wipes, they was like, "See?" I'm like, "See what?"
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it makes sense if you're not familiar with, you know, epidemiology or...
Dude, it doesn't make sense. In
virus, okay. Or whatever, I guess. I don't know.
So one of the... there was a particular antibacterial or spray, whatever the fuck it was, my dad used to use when he was, because he's Estonian. And in one of them, it said, like, HIV or AIDS or some shit like that. And, like, I was like, oh, so, like, you know, if you, like, again, I was one of those inquisitive kids that would randomly look at, like, labels and shit like that, because I was curious to know what the fuck it did. Like, you know what I mean? What the fuck is in this stuff? So, like, I saw that and I was like, I'm pretty sure that if this was causing the coronavirus, they would find some way to take the shit off of the label.
Well, so, but, and here's the thing, like, if these things do kill COVID-19, right? If it's on a tabletop, if the virus is on a tabletop, right? And you spray it with some Lysol or whatever, it's probably going to kill that virus. It's gonna denature that virus, right?
No. I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, somebody was saying that the stuff in the antibacterial was causing the virus.
Oh, well, that's just, like, that's, I don't know how to, like, respond to that.
That's my point. It was just like, I'm like, oh, you're serious. I was like, okay.
And the thing is, so even, like, that's even more ridiculous. But, like, when people say, like, these things kill it, so why can't we just use this? I'm like, yeah, go ahead and drink a gallon of bleach, right? Like,
yeah, like, be my
bleach
will
kill it, so go ahead and drink it, see what happens. But that's not how, again, that's not how viruses work. Like, viruses are very simple things. For a long time, biologists and microbiologists, they don't consider viruses to be a living thing because they have, in order for them to reproduce, they need to borrow machinery from living things, i.e. cells or bacteria.
Okay.
But they're fairly simple. They're just a capsule with genetic material in it, and then it literally, like, injects that material into a cell and takes over. So if you have a strong enough chemical, you can pretty much, like, wipe it out. But once it's in your body, it becomes active, and it's multiplying. And there's no way that you're going to be able to drink some Lysol without killing yourself. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, you have to find a specific way to attack whatever protein that's specific to that virus, through antivirals or a vaccine or something. So, I don't know. It's complicated, man. Not everybody studied epidemiology.
I didn't study it either.
So, I can excuse the ignorance, but it just sucks because some of this ignorance is what's causing a lot of this, a percentage of this panic.
So let me just say this, all right? I'm going to say this just to say that I said this, all right? I agree that there's a lot of stupidity going on in this world. Like, you know, there's a lot of idiots who are just kind of like, oh, we should just do, why can't we just inject bleach into our bodies? I'm like, well, there's a reason for that, and if I have to explain it to you, then go back and watch an episode of Punky Brewster.
Or, you know what, go ahead and inject bleach in your body, because, you know, Darwin.
Yeah, that's what I was calling you, Super Darwin, Super Woke Darwin. That's what I was calling. I didn't remember what it was. It's just like, dog, if you're going to do that, be my guest. I don't care. Like, wash your ass, wash your hands. Like, just, like...
And if this was an argument that Americans need to, like, adopt the day system of cleaning your ass, I don't know what else will convince us.
Nothing, dude. I still see people who, like, I'm not going to say where I work. But, like, people are still like, oh, I need antibacterial and blah, blah, blah. We're like, no, just wash your hands.
Yeah, soap and water will do great. Like, and don't touch everything that you see.
Like, yeah, for example, I'm still touching my face. I have a bad habit of doing that. It's a thing I do. It's a nervous tick. Like, I know for a fact that I know I'm just never going to do that. But one of the first things I do when I get home, always, if I come home, and I poop. And you know what I do after I poop? I wash my fucking hands.
I usually try to time my poops. I mean, I'm a pretty regular pooper. Sorry, audience, but I try to time my poops with, like, right before I take a shower. You know what I mean? So, you know, I get the extra cleanliness. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to, like, time my poop. Like, I never got to the theory of, like if you shower, then poop, your day's ruined.
I'm one of those people. Like, if I shower, then poop, I'm probably going to take another shower.
Eh.
They're learning a lot about us right now.
Well, dog, like, if they listen to this show, they know enough about us already. Like, there's nothing new going on here. Like, I am who I am. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of those people who's just kind of like, hey, don't know this about me. Like, I'm an open fucking book, man. Like, the amount of fuck, so, I don't care about.
Oh, man.
What up?
How scared are you right now? Like, how worried are you right now about the whole coronavirus?
How scared am I?
Are worried? Are you worried? Like, are you out here, like...
No, I'm not fucking worried.
Hoarding all types of shit? I know you're not hoarding toilet paper because you're not an idiot, but are you out here, like...
I'm not hoarding anything. Grocery stores will be open next week.
I tried to go to the grocery store. I'm like, I'm trying to be slick. So, it's Saturday at this recording. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm going to go to the grocery store at like 9 o'clock a.m. I doubt it's going to be super full. I get there. I swear to God, it looked like a zombie apocalypse movie. I just walked out.
Doug, the grocery store will be open next week. Relax.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing people are like, that's the thing that, like, really befuddling. It's like, I need all this toilet paper now. I'm like, no, you don't. You do not need this toilet paper right now. The grocery store will be open next week.
Yeah.
I think it was Danny Fernandez said this on Twitter. And she was like, people are, hoarding toilet paper like they've never been to college before. And the first thing I thought about was, like, I remember living on my own in my first apartment and, like, having to use the metro to wipe my ass.
That's hilarious.
Like, dog, like, relax. Like, of all the things that, like, people could be worried about, like, they're worried about fucking toilet paper. Like really, that's a concern right now.
So, it's the herd mentality, man. Like, there's a reason why, like, we follow trends. It's, like, something that's, like, deep in our psyche. It's something that, you know, throughout the course of human evolution, you know, we've always... It's part of our safety, like, safety in a herd. If there's a predator, right? One of... Somebody in that... God. Somebody in that group of early human is going to run, and that's going to trigger something in everybody else around that person. And they're all gonna run. You know what I mean? So it's instinctual to us. You know what I'm saying? If you see people buying a bunch of toilet paper, we're like, yo, why is that person buying a bunch of toilet paper? And there's gonna be a not insignificant portion of people that are gonna follow that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just human nature, man. That's why, like,
all I've heard.
If you can understand human nature, bro, you can make decent money in the stock market.
Dog, all I've heard is people are idiots, people are idiots, people are idiots, people are idiots, people are idiots. That's all I've heard you say.
Yeah. I mean, that's the translation right there.
Dude, don't get me wrong. Like, there are some, don't get me wrong. I don't even say that. I was going to say there's some things I'm very, like, trendy about. Like, no, I realize, like, I don't give a fuck about a lot of shit. Like, I just don't care. Like, I've never really been a trendy person. Like, you know what I mean? In fact, like...
But you're black, though. So, if you see somebody running... somewhere with a scared look in their face.
Oh yeah, I'm running too.
You running too. So it doesn't have to be toilet paper, but there's gonna be there are some triggers.
But dog, that's smart.
Your whole
that's smart. If I see, yeah.
But go ahead, sorry.
But that's smart. Like, if someone yells fire, I'm gonna run. Yeah. Like, that just seems smart to me. Like, that's just if I see a bunch of people running. Actually, no, I can't even say that because I've been in situations where I see a bunch of people running. And I kind of assess the situation. I'm like, why are we running? But I also have a hood mentality where, like, I can kind of, like, me and my wife have talked about this, where, like, when you feel the air getting thin, like, you're from the hood, man, you get it. Like, when the air starts to get really, like, not thin, still. And you're like, hold up, shit just doesn't feel right. Like, you know what I mean?
It's the quiet.
Yeah. Like, but that's, like, I don't really consider that, like, herd mentality, but I also think that comes from not necessarily having to be in certain situations. Like, whenever you see someone who's an asshole to a customer service person, I'm like, oh, you must not have never worked, you must not have ever worked customer service, because otherwise you wouldn't be an asshole right now. I think a lot of it comes from experience. I think when people just don't understand how like life in general works, that's when you get people who are just scared and irrational and shit like that. But I also think, but I think a lot of it also comes to, like, for example, if you're, like, we've talked about this on the Old Man Wade show, like, when you're in certain places and you're expecting, like, the medical staff to give you an X amount of attention, you know what I mean? But you're like, oh, they're not going to treat me a certain, they're going to treat me a certain way specifically because I'm black or I'm a woman, like, you know what I mean? But again, we get that from experience, so we kind of know how it goes. So when someone goes, someone of the same race of us may look at it and go, well, why do they treat me like this? And you're like, because you're black. And they don't understand it. They're like, oh, you don't get it because you've never actually had to deal with it. It's like that episode of Fresh Prince where the dude got, where they got stopped because he was like, I didn't have a map. It's like, no, nigga, you got stopped because you're black.
Yo, man, like, huh? I can't disagree at all with any of that, man. So my word of advice for people is
don't be a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Excuse my language.
And if you wanna prevent this coronavirus for real, you know, just, you know, give people their personal space, wash your hands,
and lick all the faces you can.
No, lick as many faces as possible.
Lick all the faces, like, for real.
Yeah, just random people.
Like, just random people. Just walk up to people and be like, yo, let me lick your face, girl. Or guy. Or guy, whatever you're into.
Or guy, yeah, guy. Or, you know, they. Or, you know,
whatever. Lick that all right, face. Yo, can I start a lick your face movement?
You know, just make sure it's not associated with the Old Man Wade brand. I don't think we want this problem right now.
No,
I don't want nobody looking at my face.
Yo, I just picture you punching someone in the fucking face if someone, like, does that.
Nigga.
All right. This has been the Old Man Wade show. I want to thank Super Bowl Darwin for this.
Yo.
I'm sorry. Did you know what nigga was just fucking hysterical to me? Man, tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, man. As always, you can find me on the Old Man Wade Show Facebook page. You can find me on Let Shit Record on Twitter.
Yo, go in there and talk political shit with him. I want to get him involved in Twitter so badly, but he's not going to get involved unless you, like, unless you engage with him. And if you start talking politics with him, he will engage.
You know, don't put people in that rabbit hole.
Oh, I totally want to. I'm waiting for you and Brandon Carr to get into it politically.
Oh, he's into politics?
Oh, he's a political science major.
Oh, word. All right, word. Yeah, that should be fun. Why haven't we done a show yet?
Mostly a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, before when he was, where he was recording the first time, we were on the same page, but I wasn't as technologically advanced as I should be in terms of, like, recording. And then when he moved to Cali, the time difference was a big issue. But
we need to make this happen, man.
But no, there's some good news, though. Now he's in Texas, so the time difference is, I think, an hour.
All right, we need to let this happen. I mean, I hope you don't vibe too much, because that'd be a boring episode, but...
Well, no, I think between the two of you, like, I think that, like, even if you agreed, I think you guys would disagree on certain points that you agree on.
And I am working on a politics centered podcast as well as a website.
Yeah, buddy.
I'll be promoting that soon, hopefully. Obviously, Old Man Wade. I'm hoping to. You'll be a big part of that as well.
Hey, you had my back when I was doing this, so you best believe I'll have yours.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. I want it to be fun. At the end of the day, but yeah, look out for that in the near future. And, of course, always oldmanwade.com.
Oldmanwade.com.
Check it out.
Don't forget blackrabbit.com.
Blackrabbit.com.
BLAQUERABBIT. We will be back in the near future for that. There's something I want. There's actually a comic book I'm reading called Saga. That and it's funny, since having this conversation with you after reading House and Powers of X, discussing the like world building, like I'm appreciating a lot of comic books more than I ever have, because I'm loving the how people make these worlds and how they like the consistency of like languages and things like that. Like I was like, wow, this is just amazing. Like, you know what I mean? So.
So how much I love world building, man.
Yeah, so
big part of why I read these things.
Yeah. All right, and you can find me oldmanwadecom, oldmanwadecom on Twitter and Instagram. You can find and I'm on the Old Man Wade Facebook page. I actually post a lot of comic book stuff on there, which I realize we talk a lot of comic book shit on there. Maybe more than anything else.
That's where we came from, man.
Like, yeah, true. You know? But it's just funny that, like, that's usually, like, you know, like, that's just our go-to. I think because mostly, like, we try to keep things happy and light, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you get your depression, your depressing shit on your own timeline. And you want to have some fun and laugh and you know, judge us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. absolutely judge us, because we're... I'm still trying to... You know what's funny? I can't wait till we get canceled, because I know it's going to be something... I know it's going to be something that's not that serious, but when it happens, I'm going to laugh my ass off.
You know we made it when we get canceled.
Yeah. But Obama said cancel culture is all over, so we don't have to worry about that.
Word. Yeah. I mean, you know, we ended racism, so.
Oh, God, I'm out.
Damn it, Wade!